as they say, let the river flow. It's the news. Good evening. Good Tuesday morning, everyone. It's January 28th, 8:55 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm your host. That's all I am. I'm just the host, hosting my opinions about the news for you to listen to. Listenership went down. I don't know what happened there. I was on this roll where everything was just peaking up. No, it's just falling down. Back to its normal numbers again. I don't know what's going on with that. It's just like the stock market. I don't know if any of you follow anything in the stock market and any specific stocks that's themselves. There's some out there in the tech world is always very volatile, but it's like NVIDIA, AMD, some of the others that, you know, and then of course there's Tesla, and I guess you can consider Google, Alphabet, all those things, you know, they're tech stocks, I guess. None of them, by the way, have anything to do with my cup. I have chai with cinnamon creamer. I just about spilled my backup cup. That was close. I don't know how that. I don't know what that. Why does that happen? I set down my cup and I swept my hand to the side, and there was my cup filled with homemade sweet tea. That would have been the biggest tragedy. I was losing my homemade sweet tea. I wouldn't care about what, you know, my electronics and stuff that's on my table here. That wouldn't matter on the desk here. I would be more concerned about losing my sweet tea than the tens of millions of dollars worth of equipment I have sitting here on the. I was going to say hundreds of dollars worth. And I thought, nah, tens of thousands. And as it was coming out, I said, nah, tens of millions. That's how fast my brain escalates to things that are ridiculous. I have some interesting things happening in the news. Of course, under this administration, how long has this been? What has it been? It's been 7 days. Is this the seventh day now of Trump's administration? I guess you could call it the eighth day. I don't really count the first day. I know he did a whole bunch of executive decisions and all that kind of stuff, executive orders, all this stuff. But I don't like executive orders, but sometimes you just got to get, you know. A lot of them, I think about almost half of them, were just reverting things back that Biden had done. But the one of the executive orders, and this is kind of funny, if you know who Sean Foyt is, Sean Foyt, everybody looks at his name, they don't know how to pronounce it. It's just Foyt. It's spelled F-E-U-C-H-T, Foyt. I think it's probably French, maybe, I don't know, or Scottish. I don't know what it is. So he he has this little, it's a short. I just heard it before I went on the show here. But he by the way, it's 8:59 a.m. I don't know if I said that or not. Eastern Standard Time, almost 9 o'clock. Big day today. Still got the puppy to take care of. We have to go to the dog park. Run as much as they could run. And then that pretty much wears him out, so I can then take him for a walk. It's kind of what has to happen there. He runs for about an hour. Of course, all that does is just gets him in better shape, and he runs more, which is kind of it's a catch 22. If you just lock him in a cage all day long, he atrophies and he doesn't have enough strength to be a problem. But when you take him out of the cage, but the problem is if you go out and run him, you know, it's good for him and it's healthy. But then you get him home. And if you don't happen to take him out for a run, he's a monster. So it's all right. I'll take it. This interesting thing has happened here, I guess, with one of the items that Trump did. Now, one of the things, you know, here we have a new president who is in his second term already. And I guess there's some kind of congressional deal. There's some kind of congressional deal about talking about taking away the term limits that would only apply to Trump, that they could run another year because they're talking about changing it to consecutive terms and not just You can only do two consecutive terms. Well, he never did two consecutive terms, so he can still do two consecutive terms. Now, if anybody out there thinks that Trump is going to go another 4 years and then go another 4 years, he's going to be a babbling Joe Biden by the end of the second, fourth. You know, let's stop with the geriatrics here. Okay, we like about Trump. Let's just get off that particular. He's not going to live forever. His brain's not going to function forever. And in fact, I'm sure he's functioning just fine right now. But of course, he's showing signs of age, and he's got 4 years to go through this whole process again. You can't just keep his process up. What is he now? He's about as old as, I mean, he's going to be older, than Biden when he leaves office this 4 years. I mean, he's not going to be older than Biden, but he's older than Biden is now. So that's what I'm trying to get at. Anyway, I don't know. I could be doing the math wrong. That's just off the top of my head, thinking he's, only a few years behind him. The interesting thing here is he has now turned the water on. I guess he sent the military out to California. I assume it's the Corps of Engineers, Army Corps of Engineers. They went out to California, and they have turned the water on, supposedly. I haven't heard any of the real specifics on this, but here's Sean Foyt. He put a short out. And this is from the real Donald Trump. Trump actually posted this. Says the United States military just entered the great state of California and, under emergency powers, turned on the water, flowing abundantly from the Pacific Northwest and beyond. I can't read the rest of it because their heads are in the way, but we're going to play this so you can hear Sean talk about it here real quickly. He's just it's kind of fun. He's going to play. There he goes. There he is.
California. Look what Trump
environment
just
over the
did.
People
the United
are
States
over.
Military entered the great state of California under emergency powers, turned on the water. Guys, we've been waiting for this. We've been praying for this. The days of putting a fake environmental argument over the people are over. It is a midnight miracle.
Yeah, so that's Sean. He's doing his thing there. He's all happy about it, which I have to say it's kind of I agree. And of course, then you got people like Selena Gomez out there who are crying, just crying because these people are she's all concerned about the illegal immigrants. Now, see, again, the news media, they follow their same playbook. They never make they don't distinguish between legal and illegal immigration. And this is probably one of the biggest psyops, in my opinion, because the way they're operating here in public use. This is kind of one of the biggest gaslighting things they do. He doesn't like immigration. Doesn't like immigration. His wife is an immigrant. His first wife was an immigrant. It's not that he doesn't like immigration. But we need to distinguish here a little bit about what is illegal immigration. Or these undocumented people. They're not illegal people. They're legitimate people. Problem is, they've come here illegitimately, illegally. That's the problem. We just can't. Our system has to have some kind of order. Right after 9/11, I was an airline pilot working in Chicago at the time, and soon after things started, the flying started opening back up again. The airport started opening. It was just within days of everything happening again. We were back working again. They had everybody go through one checkpoint for employees. They didn't have a TSA. They didn't have a TSA. They didn't have a Homeland Security yet. None of that was in place yet. It was just regular security. It was still contract security from another company. that was doing all security. And of course, the city of Chicago just determined what would be safe for everyone to enter the airport, because the city of Chicago actually owns the airport. And what ended up happening there was they decided to take all the airport employees, pilots, flight crew, mechanics, cleaning personnel, vendor workers that worked in the airport as waiters and staff, and the people who sell smoothies, people who clean the floors and empty the trash, clean the toilets, which are greatly appreciated, by the way, and the as well as the people who fly the planes. We were all told to go through one particular checkpoint in Chicago. Each terminal, there are three terminals. There are Terminal 1, 2, and 3. There's also a Terminal 5. Used to be all international flights went out through 5. This doesn't happen that way anymore. And so these terminals, each terminal had their own checkpoint for everybody that was an employee. And all you had was your company badge. You didn't have a special Chicago badge or anything like that. It was just you just had a company badge. It's all you had. At least that's all I had. I think the employees had certain, they had a city badge of some kind, like a CIDA badge, what they call it. But there was no special checkpoint. You just showed your badge and you walked through the security system, and they usually had. So now before that, in Chicago, you had to go through an employee checkpoint. There was always there were several employee checkpoints, or you could go through the regular checkpoint if you wanted to. It didn't matter. You'd go through regular security, or you could go through a side security type thing. And it was more of an issue of, you didn't have to be a passenger. You didn't have to have a ticket to get inside the airport. You could go in and meet your loved ones getting off the plane. This was a huge, this was a, think about this. Not only do you have the population that's flying in the airport, you've got people who are sending people off and seeing people off and going. People would go in. Of course, nowadays, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but the newer airports are more like a shopping mall that just happened to be where you fly in and out of. There are so many shopping centers that you wonder, where are the gates at? Where are the airplanes here? They have huge shopping areas, food courts. Think of how many more people the general public would have been going through those places if they hadn't restricted all that to, you have to have a ticket to get on the plane in order to go through security. So, because anybody who just walks inside the secure area can just walk into an airplane, There's no ticket counter there before you walk down the jet bridge. Just ridiculous things like that. It's just sometimes the things that we do are just such knee-jerk reactions with regard to security. But this is where we're living right now. I don't know who makes these rules. Sometimes they just make rules for the rules. And of course, the only people who have to deal with the rules are the obedient, law-abiding citizens. Everybody else the people who find a way around those things. The rules aren't for them. It just inconveniences the rest of us. I'll get into that more. I think that's the tirade I'm going to go down today. So airports now, soon after 9/11, we all had these checkpoints we had to go into. And as we were going through it, because before this, there was normally an orderly line, which, everybody would go through this orderly line, and you would have it was normal. And flight crew at that time, being a pilot, I was kind of privied to normally going ahead of everybody else, because they usually let the pilots in ahead of everybody else. Because, we got a flight to do. We have to get there and get the plane ready to go. We're not just getting on a plane. We have to get there and go to work. The passengers are all sitting there waiting for us to get there, then they're going to have to wait longer because now we get to get. It's just, it's just one of those common sense things that normally they don't really. Common sense is, a little less prevalent now. It's not quite as common as it used to be. So we have was in this line, and I was like, no, we're all lining up at this checkpoint. And all of a sudden, just people started just kind of gathering around like a mob and trying to push their way into the line, because they had kind of like a funnel situation where you kind of went in one at a time. And it was like a checkpoint, and there was no line there. It was just people just started pushing their way in. And something triggered in me. I don't remember exactly how or why or what I said for exactly, but it's something to the effect of, folks, this is America. We have lines here. We stand in line. We take turns. We play nice. Something to that effect. And actually, people actually started getting in line. I was surprised that they actually listened to me. And it was so frustrating. And of course, as I look around myself, it's almost everybody around me that's trying to push their way in. Most of them weren't speaking English. Most of them had, you know, wasn't their first language anyway. And it was very frustrating to realize that the country at that time, even back then, this is back in 2001, even at that time, the country was very quickly, losing this mentality, this idea of being a melting pot. Because there is American culture. We used to have something called American culture. Very similar to European culture, but not, it was considered Western culture. But it was far Western culture. And it was different than the European culture. It was different than Scotland. It was different than England. It was even different than England, which, you know, most of our initial settlers came from England, Scotland, and Ireland, Italy, Spain, Portugal, all these places. And of course, then there are people came from China, and people, of course, came from South Africa. Africa in general. And of course, you know how they got here. Many of the Chinese came kind of with the same, they were basically paid slaves. The Irish were paid slaves. The indentured servitude thing was basically you sold yourself into slavery for a set period of time. Some people were locked into it for a very long time. Couldn't get out of it. A lot of people came here with that kind of hope of a better world, better kind of situation. And, you know, you made that. Some people made that choice. Some people didn't. Some people didn't have a choice in the matter. Now, having said all that, the culture here was one of, you know, it was civil. There was organization. There was consideration for your fellow man and for the fact that everyone had a right to liberty, and you didn't infringe on someone else's rights. You saw them as a human being who had rights. They had their own sovereignty, the right to rule their own lives, and you didn't cross that line because that would be considered unconstitutional, first of all, and secondly, it would be considered just rude. And at that moment, I realized that was one of those things where you just saw it just in plain sight. It was just, okay, this is a different culture. This is the way we're acting here. We're acting like animals, trying to get through a pathway to get somewhere. Speaking of animals, they must have heard me talking about them. They're out there barking now. Yeah, they're protecting the house to see what's going on here. Because I got to pull my little camera up. So this, and of course they're still barking. This melting pot idea There's nothing out there, by the way. There's nothing there. There's barking, probably a bird. So they're all worked up. I have, it's quite annoying. I have at some point they start barking at each other. One barks, the other barks, and the other one thinks it has to bark louder. Much like what's happening in our nation here between the, you know, things. So just to go back over some of this now, just some of the other things that are happening. I think Marco Rubio now is going to be Secretary of State, and he has they have basically shut off all aid to foreign aid. They just shut it all off initially. They're going to kind of review what's going on here. They've stopped the whole thing. Yeah, this is very annoying. And of course, I hate to do that. I actually had to pause the show there for a second. Sorry. I normally like to have the whole thing run. Just, you know, it's almost like a live thing in person. But it's just that got too annoying. So I had to deal with him. I had to go up and beat some sense into him. I don't beat the dogs. We went outside and had to go. Had to let him go potty a little bit, and of course now they're barking again. Sir. I think he's starting to realize if he barks, I come up there. So I'm not sure that's going to work. Let it go for now. So Marco Rubio, they've decided to cut off aid, foreign aid altogether, which is just making course of the left. The neocons, their heads are popping off. One of the things that happened recently, interestingly enough, very telling, that Mitch McConnell, still a never Trumper, still. After all that's gone, after everything that's happened in this last year and eight years really, still siding with the Democrats. I think it was actually the vote for Giuliani, or for the vote for, I'm sorry, Marco Rubio. Did I say Giuliani earlier? Marco Rubio, Secretary of State. He I think they're just barking to be barking now. He actually ended up I'm sorry, folks. I'm so sorry for the dog's barking. He ended up I think he voted against. I mean, it came down to a 50-50 tie in the Senate. And I thought that the Senate was majority of the Senate was now Republican. I thought we had the House and the Senate now. Maybe it's 50-50. I don't know. I'd have to look at that up. I'm going to look it up right now, even though I'm having a hard time concentrating on anything because of this crazy dog barking thing. Senate. Let's see if we can find the House and Senate breakdown. Let's see if we can find this. I think it might be 50-50. Who controls it? Who won control of Congress? Okay, this is great. Now they're going to... Who's won the House? How about the Senate? Republicans regained the majority of... Republicans regained the majority in the 2024 battle for Senate. So they did win. Republicans took over control of the upper chamber with big wins in Ohio, Montana, and Texas. So Ted Cruz. So the Republicans have... and they're not just giving me a breakdown. Is it 49-51 or what is it here? They're just showing little red dots. Here we go. 45 Democrats, 2 independents, and 53 Republicans. And yet it came down to a tie-breaking vote, which means we didn't get all the Republicans voting for Rubio. In my opinion, my understanding is, I think actually Fetterman, there were some Democrats who were talking about voting in favor of most of Trump's picks because they're like, why don't just give him what he wants here for his cat? It's his cabinet. These people aren't representatives. They work for the president, which this advise and consent thing, in my opinion, the Senate has taken too far. Advise and consent. It doesn't mean you approve of them necessarily. You're just giving consent. If you want to choose, you know, I don't have to approve of your lifestyle. I can consent to it. It's a fine line, but there's a difference there. I don't get to decide who's in your cabinet. It's just another issue of imbalance of power here that the Senate thinks that they're more powerful than they should be. And of course, the Republicans, these are the same Republicans who would, well, I'm going to go ahead and vote. I'm going to go ahead and vote for you know, Mitch McConnell. I'm just going to go ahead and vote for whatever Obama wants or whatever Joe Biden's my friend or whatever he wants. I'm going to vote for him. If he wants his cabinet, he's going to get his cabinet. That's a problem there. Because we have to get along, you know, we have to give them the cabinet. And of course, now with Donald Trump, that's not the case. These people aren't qualified. They're not qualified. Of course, what ends up happening is they turn around and they upset their little apple cart. All the corruption that's going on in the Congress. Believe me, they could cut trillions of dollars of corruption going on in Congress, and it would just be scratching the surface. You don't understand the. I was just in D.C. over the weekend, by the way. I was in D.C. for a few hours. When was it? It was on Saturday. Sunday. It was Sunday. And there's this level of corruption there that is palpable. I don't know if anybody else can feel it or not when they're going in there. Many years ago, it was probably 2003, 2004 or something like that, I was flying in to Reagan National. And I think my first officer was doing the flying. I was the captain, but it was his leg, so he was flying in there. I looked over, because the river visual approach is quite interesting coming up in from the north side. Because you're looking off to the left, and all you see is, you see the Washington Monument, you see all this stuff. You're basically right there. You can see it's all off to your left, and of course we got the best seat in the house up front because we got these big windows we're looking out of. So I'm looking over there, and of course I was just overwhelmed with this. I just kind of set myself aside from being a conservative, what I considered back then to be a Republican. George Bush was in the White House at that time, and this is post 9/11. It was all, we're all fired up and ready to go to, Afghanistan before the push to go to Iraq. And I look over and I thought, there's just such a dark underbelly here. There's just a seething bunch of corrupt individuals. And I said it out loud. This guy that was in the plane with me, he's like, I don't think he ever thought about it. I obviously he didn't agree with me. He just kind of looked kind of funny. And it was kind of, maybe he was just thinking about, the fact that he had to land the plane here in the next few seconds. I don't know. But it was just an overwhelming sense of bubbling crude going on underneath the cockroaches that are crawling around the place. Everybody looking for power and influence and access. And of course, Joe Biden tapped into that. Of course he did. Because that's who he's always been. He had documents in his garage that he got when he was a senator that he wasn't supposed to have. What was he doing with those? You know how long ago that was? Still sitting in his garage. That's how long this guy's been corrupted. He even talked about it back in the 90s. Yeah. So we have people like this in our government situation. And just because they have an R or a D behind their name doesn't mean squat. They're all corruptible. People are selfish. I just listened to this thing. Flipping through shorts this morning. Not my shorts. It was YouTube shorts. And this lady got on there. It was something about psychopaths. And she was talking about psychopaths and how they do this and they do that. And one of the things that a psychopath will do, for instance, they'll say everyone out there is selfish. And what they're really saying is that they're the selfish one. They'll say things about everybody else in generalization, say everybody's this way only because they are revealing who they are. And because she was talking about how just different things about this, but she made this one little comment like that. First of all, I'm not a psychopath or sociopath. Okay, I'm very much aware of myself. I've gone through some very, I would say, brutally journey of self-awareness that I've gone through, and I think men at some point, if they have a somewhat healthy mental capacity, if they hit maturity at a different age. And I, maturity can be defined as different things. I understand. It's just, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a sociologist. I'm not a doctor, lawyer, financial counselor, plumber, any of those things. So I'm just giving you my perspective on some things here. And my own journey. I'm just sharing what my own journey is and what I believe and what I think about. When you really take a moment to objectively kind of stand back and look at your life, look at why you make the decisions you do and what everything about your life, and you're willing to be honest about it, and you look at your life and yourself with the perspective of, in light of the holiness of the one who created you, and just how different you are than what he intended to have you be, it boils down to the main thing that is at the core of every human being, but the problem with every human being, basically, all of our issues, all of our sin nature. And if you don't think you have issues or you have problems, then I would say you're the one that's a sociopath. Or psychopath. We have trouble believing that we are selfish creatures. Every single one of us. Now, by this lady's definition, that would make me a psychopath because I believe everybody's selfish. Well, I got news for you, lady. If you haven't discovered for yourself that you are a selfish individual, then you got some deep thinking to do. You've got some deep, just deep inside exploration to do. I'll tell you, I'm probably one of the most selfish people on the planet. I'm not proud of it. Even in my attempt to be generous or be good, I guarantee you, I cannot give God enough of my goodness to win my way into heaven. And this is into a relationship with him. This is one of those things that I think that people, we tend to go down this road of saying, I'm not as bad as that. We do this comparative thing, or I'm not as bad as that person. I didn't do that. I'm not a Hitler. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I think that Messiah made it very clear. Even if you think in your heart about hating your brother, you've killed him, and it's no different. If you've looked upon a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery in your heart. You've committed the sin. The physical ramifications the consequences of the physical ramifications don't exist. That didn't happen. But your heart, the person who you are, you have to be honest with yourself. He was trying to make that very clear. And yet people can't receive that because they want to think, but I go to church and I pay tithe and I give to the needy and I do all these things. And, you know, Lord, Lord, when did we see you in prison? When did we see you in the hospital? When did we see you in homeless, begging in the streets? And because, you know, we would have helped you if we'd have seen you there. So one of the things that haunts me about Scripture is that when Jesus said, not everyone who cries to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. People deceive themselves. There's a verse in the Old Testament that haunts me, where God rebukes his own people and says, in the imagination of their hearts, they have worshipped me. What he's really saying there is they've imagined a God of their own choosing. They've imagined me to be someone else that I'm not. And they're worshiping in their imaginations someone that I'm not. There's this thing that was going around back in the 90s and 80s. Especially in the 80s. It was just kind of coming to light. There was a guy by the name of David Hunt that wrote a book. It's called, it wasn't David Hunt, but what was the name of his book? But he had this other lady that was, Johansson, I think it was, I can't remember her name. She wrote a book called The Beautiful Side of Evil. And this other guy, that David Hunt, had written a book called something about Christianity. What was it? It was very controversial book at the time because he was coming out against secular psychology. Let's see if we can find it. David Hunt, writer. Let's see what we can find here. Here he is. He's a Christian apologist. This is his Wikipedia page. David Hunt, author of Grit, True Grit. That's a different guy, Girt Nation. That was, David Hunt, about David Hunt. He's good reads. Yeah, this is different David Hunt. There's apparently a couple of them. Let's go to this one. This is David Charles Hunt. Linkster Signs of the Times. He passed away. He passed away in 2013. Did not know that. Precious in the sight of the Lord is to those saints. There's a different David Hunt here. David Hunt, there's also a David Hunt guy that's military guy. What is this? Christian apologist and cult something. I wish I could find more about this guy. There's too many David Hunts out there. Bunch of pictures of him here. Can't remember the name of his book that he wrote. I've got it. And I was going through Bible college at the time when the book came out, and it was the psychology class teacher came out against it and had all these things he said about it. Of course, everything that he put in the book was actually subtitled what do they call it? Little notes at the bottom. Had all the references were there. Secret Invasion. It was Do It Without Regret. Let's see if I can find the book here. Seduction of Christianity. That's what it was. The Seduction of Christianity. And this was all about spirit. It was called the subtitle was Spiritual Discernment in the Last Days. David Hunt and T.A. McMahon. And the there's two editions of this book. I had the first edition, so the one I read. I knew that book backwards and forwards. It was one of the few books I'd read up to that point. I'm not a big reader. And it was a very powerful book in terms of human psychology. Now, the church I was going to right before I went to Bible college, the head pastor there was a had his doctorate degree in psychology. He was a very well studied guy. I think he had a couple degrees. I think he had a master's, and he also had a doctorate in psychology. He did a lot of counseling. He counseled a lot of married women as well, and of course he was manipulating a lot of married women and ended up getting just about killed one night because one of his clients for counseling found out he was being very manipulative, and he was his wife finally decided to tell her husband, or this guy's wife. Told her husband that she'd been kind of having this. They started going down the wrong road with this whole thing, and nothing had happened yet. But the guy found out about it, and he showed up at the church, and had he been there, had the pastor been there, I think we would have had a major problem there. And of course, the guy ended up running off to a counseling center, locked himself away for a few months till it all blew over. And he was expelled from the church, just one scandal after another with this guy. I'm not saying that's everybody who's involved in psychology is that's a problem. I'm just saying it's very seductive. And of course, the guy who was the head of the professor of psychology at the college I went to, the Bible college I was going to, very similar trend. He had all these young ladies that were just enamored with this guy. Very, very charismatic guy in terms of his personality. Could play guitar, sing. He was very, very magnanimous. He was just very, you know, I can understand why people liked the guy. And he made comments about this book and the things that David Hunt said. And then you started digging a little bit more into what was going on with this guy. And he was manipulating young ladies on campus. We're talking kids, you know, 19, 20-year-old, 21-year-old girls. He was married, of course. And then we find out that he completely, about 4 years later, we find out that he completely left the faith, denied the faith, said he was never a believer. And this is, there were people who were getting in my face about confronting what this guy was teaching. And they said, you know, what this book was about. And I said, they would say, oh, this book, it has all this. It says this and this and this. I said, have you read the book? And of course they would say, no, haven't read the book. But they know what it's about because the teacher told them what it was about. They hadn't read the book. So end of argument. I'm sorry. I'm not going to argue with you anymore if you're going to tell me what's in the book and you haven't read it yet. And of course, those who had actually read the book totally agreed with what was in that book. It was biblically sound. It was a very sound argument for human. What do they call it? He calls it secular psychology. And how it's used. Now, the study of man is one thing. You can study psychology and how people think, and that's all that is kind of a benign thing. It's not necessarily good or bad. It's not necessarily how would you say it? It doesn't have a moral outcome. It's just a study. The problem is the philosophy you put behind that and how you then use that to counsel other people. That's where the problem lies. If you can't direct them back to and point them on the right path to a relationship with God, the living God, then you're just manipulating the person. You're just trading one demon for another. as it were. And that's just manipulation. It's not Holy Spirit ministry. Anyway, so that's where we're at with this. That's where I'm at with this stuff. And this guy, I got off on this subject. What were we talking about before? So I don't even remember. I don't remember how we got to this point. To be quite honest with you, I'm not sure where we started with this, and it doesn't really matter because that's where you're at. So the psychology thing, the whole thing of it, got a little bit of chai just helped me out remember that. So this lady was saying that selfishness. You know, if you say everybody's selfish, that means that's just because you're selfish, and you're putting that on everybody else, and you're a psychopath. Well, no. You're just recognizing that's the depravity of man at our root cause. The very first sin that ever was committed was out of selfishness. I'm not talking about Adam and Eve. I'm talking about, I guess it would be Lucifer, the fallen angels. They had selfish motives. It's at its core. Then Adam and Eve, of course, were tempted, and what they did was a selfish act. They were told not to do something. They did it out of selfishness. It wasn't an act of generosity, that's for sure. So you can't tell me that people on both sides of the aisle, they think that they're good people. Oh, I'm good because, and they basically think that because they're on one side or the other, because they can get along with the other side, that they're the good side. They're being bipartisan. Well, you can't be bipartisan. What has happened with the Democrat Party? And it's not the Democratic Party; it's the Democrat Party. What has happened with them is they are no longer a constitutional loving party. It was one thing to interpret the Constitution one way or the other back in the JFK days, and you have differences with the Democrats and Republicans and how they believed, their philosophical differences with the Constitution. It's very different now. The left does not like the Constitution, and unless they're bringing it up to get to manipulate you. Oh, we have to. He's anti-constitution. We have to protect the Constitution. He wants to subvert the Constitution. He wants to rip this Constitution to shreds. No, you're the one that wants to take away the Second Amendment. You're the one wants to take away the First Amendment, to have control of the First Amendment. We want to. Well, you don't have the right to misinformation, to disinformation, especially when it comes to our elections. This is what we heard from the potential VP under Kamala. You don't have the right to free speech. You only have the right to legal speech. This has been said. The right to legal speech has been said. I believe it was Dan Goldman. Who was it that said that? Oh, I don't know who it was. You don't have the right to lie. Yes, I'm afraid you do. You have the right to lie. Absolutely do. Well, you can't yell fire at a crowded theater. Okay, well let's show me that law, and then secondly. How many people are doing that? Here we go again with this whole thing of what exactly is the problem here that we're trying to solve, that we're putting everybody under, we have to stop all free speech because you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. What is this? It all comes back to what I was talking about earlier. Let's show this example of something that I know. After 9/11, we had this thing called the TSA. We had Homeland Security, then we had Transportation Security Administration. All big government bloated programs. We went from people being contracted to do security at the airports for $18,000 a year to you get hired, you make about $80,000 your first year, I think, or 40. It's ridiculous what you make. And of course, the manager, I think, of the a particular small TSA in Podunk, USA, TSA airport makes about $80,000 a year, whatever, some ridiculous amount of money. That's what it was at first. I don't know if the wages are still there or not, but it's ridiculous. Because it became a government job. Now that's total benefits. I'm not talking about what their hourly wages or what they take home. They get government benefits. They get all this stuff. It's, you don't see people leaving those jobs very often once they get them. And unfortunately, and what's really sad is some of them are making more than the pilots are, the flight crew, which is, it just blows my mind. So the guy who has control of the airplane, by the way, and here's the other thing. I sit in a seat. Let me just say this. I'm not divulging anything that nobody knows. That's the top secret information here. I sit in a seat that within reach of me being strapped into that airplane, I sit in a seat that has a crash axe accessible to me from the captain's seat. And they're going to tell me that they have to take my fingernail clippers away from me. I had my file busted out of my fingernail clippers once going through security after 9/11 because it's dangerous. You're gonna take over the airplane with that. I'm like, Apparently you don't know that I have a crash axe next to me when I'm sitting there flying the plane. How ridiculous and knee-jerk of a reaction is this? To bust my file off my nail clippers when I'm the guy flying the plane. How many pilots who were working as pilots that day, and how many pilots have crashed airplanes into buildings on purpose? How many airline pilots have done anything on purpose like that? And yet, they are treated like common criminals every day. Now, here's something that's happening. So then we had this thing came out called the Known Crew Member Program, KCM. So the airlines paid for additional funding. Airlines have to pay for this. The city governments have to pay for it to put the terminals, to do everything that has to be done. Somebody has to pay for all this stuff. So all the hardware and everything that has to go in for this program to be there. There's a special computer terminals thing, a little gate to set up, and of course you have to have an extra person, another employee working for the TSA. Of course, it's not always the same person, so they rotate around. But it just adds another station at the checkpoint for somebody to be paid to keep track of people, of crew members coming in. They have this little KCM card that they have to apply for. You have to be a part of the program. You have to get another background check. You have to get your fingerprints taken, all this stuff. You have to do all this stuff in order to go through this KCM line. The nice part about it is you walk up, you show them your tag, you have your company ID, and you also have another ID, and you just walk through. They verify you are who you are, and you walk through. There's no security check. Unless they give you what's called a random check, which used to happen, about once out of every 20 times, maybe. 20 people would go through, 20, 25 people would go through, and they get a random. Sometimes it was two in a row, and then it wouldn't be for another 50 or whatever it was. There was a normal count, and it was just kind of randomly popping up. Now it's not random anymore. It's about 40%. I took a poll recently. The crew members in this particular company that I'm associated with, and the highest majority was 40%. There was another majority. There was a large number of 50%ers and 30%ers. Now, those people haven't gone through KCM for very much recently. But it's what's happening is they're just checking everybody all the time now, which is ridiculous because they're not finding anything. And the situations where they are finding something haven't been pilots. I'm just going to put it that way. The pilots aren't the problem. And they're not finding safety of flight issues. They're finding contraband, which is the DEA issue. And they're going to find a dog in a suitcase here if they keep barking like this. Because they're barking at nothing. So this is the neat kind of knee-jerk reaction. So now they're gonna get rid of the KCM program. This is the rumor that's out there now, is the KCM program is going away because they're gonna check everybody now. They're gonna have our own place to go through, and they're gonna check everybody. This is the way it was before. We had our own place to go through. Now there were some places where the crew didn't go through security, but back in the day, up until 9/11, there were a lot of outstations. There were a lot of airports, smaller airports, where the the operations center, you just walk up to the ticket counter outside of security. You'd walk out there, walk up to the counter, and they would check your badge and they would check your crew, and they verified that everybody that was a crew member was supposed to be there, and they'd take you straight to the airplane. And even doing that, nobody was crashing airplanes into other buildings or anything. Nobody was doing terrorist acts with airplanes back then. And we weren't smuggling stuff around either. Well, as far as I know, I don't know. So what are they trying to accomplish here by putting flight crews through all this stuff and putting even passengers through, or non-passengers who want to meet their loved one at the gate? What are they accomplishing here, really? Because these guys who did this stuff on 9/11, and you can have all your conspiracy theories that you want to, they bought tickets. They got on the plane. They went through security. And I guarantee you, security is no different than it was then. They got on the planes, took over the planes because we were told to just comply with whatever the hijackers want. What they didn't know was the hijackers want to use the airplane as a weapon to kill thousands of people. That's what they wanted to do. That's what they did because we're complying. Whose idea was that? Wasn't my idea, and I would have gotten in trouble that day because I would not have complied with them. I always told everybody, and they always yelled back at me, telling me there was going to be a lawsuit and I was going to be sued for doing what I said I was going to do if anybody ever breached that cockpit. That's fine, I'll take the lawsuit. I'd have been happy to take a lawsuit that day. I'd have been happy to go to jail that day, alive, with all my passengers, for doing what I would have done. But that wasn't allowed by the FAA because they know better. So many of the things we do, so many things the government does, and the regulations and things that we have are so... Somebody in an office makes a decision. We have to do it this way. They have no idea of what the reality of real life is. So, folks, I have to. Apparently, my dogs found their way out of the hole I dug for them, and they've dug themselves back out, and they're barking again. So, I'm going to go ahead and call this a day. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about some more things. We're going to talk about more things that are actually specifics going on with the current administration. There are a lot of things that are a lot of details I'm going to go over, but I just wanted to say that, you know, there are people like Mitch McConnell. He can't leave soon enough. I just so ridiculous. These guys are just, they're traitors in my opinion. They're playing a political game from the 40s, and it's just, they've got to go away. There's just too many of them. And fortunately, you know, Trump being in his second term, he's got nothing to lose now. He's going to go full out. Correct. Let's fix the problems. Get rid of this baloney. Cut through the malarkey. Go on with it. Folks, God bless. Have a great rest of your week. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you tomorrow. See ya.